Well, thank you, Jen, once again, and welcome once again to everybody. Pastor Marta asked me to continue with our series this month. Today we're talking about prayer. Prayer can be found in almost every book in the Bible, so we know it must be important. Someone once said, prayer is the key in the morning and the lock at night. Martin Luther said, Martin Luther said, prayer is the first business of the day and the last business at night. The disciples asked Jesus how to pray, and we all know the Lord's Prayer, and it covers just about everything for our daily walk. Hallowed be thy name, our reverence for God, your kingdom come, request for God's kingdom on earth, our daily bread, providing our daily provision, forgiveness of our sins, and forgiveness for others too. And then lead us not into temptation, the Lord's protection from us from being tempted and from the evil one. It's probably a good idea, and it's something I try to do every day, is to say the Lord's Prayer before I get out of bed. And also, I place the whole armor on my family each day, too, which is in Ephesians chapter 6, if you want to read that one. In Matthew 6:8, Jesus said, your Father knows what you need before you ask. So why do we pray? Prayer is the starting point where we draw closer to God. It's not only to ask God for things or help, but it's the starting point to draw closer to Him. He promises when we draw close to Him, He will draw close to us as well. Psalm 20, may God grant you the desires of your heart. What God really desires from us is that He would become the desire of our heart. That's what He's getting at. The essence of prayer is to enter into an intimate relationship with God. This is why He created us, to fellowship, to abide, to become one with Him. Prayer can also change God's plans. Think about a couple things when the Israelites had built, created the golden calf when Moses was out of town up on Mount Sinai, and God was so angry He was going to destroy the whole Israelite nation, but Moses convinced him not to do that. And another time, just offhand, is Hezekiah. The prophet Isaiah was sent to King Hezekiah to tell him that he should get his house in order because he was about to die. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed, and God changed his mind there as well. When do we pray? Anytime. Where do we pray? Anywhere. It can be in the car. That's where I like to pray a lot of times because we're always so busy. When you're walking, when you're on the treadmill. Daniel, how often do we pray? Daniel prayed 3 times a day, it says. And Paul says to pray continuously. Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, when you go into your closet, shut the door and pray to your Father, which is in secret. When we built our addition on our house, our in-law quarters, I had just enough room for a little prayer closet. And that's where I spend a lot of my time praying, because it's quiet, there's no distractions, there's no TV. And Jesus said, when you go into your closet, shut the door and pray to the Father, which is in secret. Here Jesus is saying is the secret place where you develop that special relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the place where we cry out to God, where we hunger and thirst for more of Him in our lives. Psalm 63, David says, my soul thirsts for you in a dry and weary land. David here was in the desert, he was in the wilderness, but he wasn't just crying out for water to drink. He was crying out that longing for God, and that's what God wants to instill in each one of us, that hunger for Him, that thirst for Him, that longing. And that's why we spend that private time to get to know him, for him to hear our prayers and to get to know him as well. He wants to have a conversation with us. He wants to speak to us. In the quiet place, you can learn to hear that his voice. I sort of read a little bit about Samuel the prophet. His mother, Hannah, she was barren. It says the Lord had shut her womb, and she kept asking for a son. And finally, her prayers were answered. And she said if the Lord gave her a son, she would dedicate him to the Lord. So when he was old enough, after she had weaned him, she took him to the temple of the Lord. And Eli was the priest at that time. Now we'll start reading in 1 Samuel chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. I thought that was interesting. The word of the Lord was rare. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am." Eli said, "I did not call you." This happened three times. The Lord called Samuel a third time. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that it was the Lord calling Samuel. So Eli told him, "Go, lie down. When he calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went, lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant listens." I think the thing we have to learn from this story is that Samuel was young, and it says he did not know the word of the Lord. He didn't know the Lord's voice. This is why it's important for us to spend that time alone with God, so we can learn to hear his voice. Mark 1:35, Jesus even withdrew to solitary places to spend time alone with the Father, to be strengthened, encouraged, and to fellowship. If Jesus needed this time alone with God, how much more do we need it? We need to get recharged, commune, and develop that closer walk. Not only spending time alone with God, but corporately, as we do here on Sunday mornings with our prayer and praise time. We have prayer requests, and we all pray together for the different needs like we did this morning. I just want to go to Acts 1:14. If you remember this, Jesus had ascended to heaven, and he told them to wait in Jerusalem. And they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with some women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group of about 120 people. And I just think that's interesting. What happened when they spent that time, that corporate time in prayer together? Pentecost came. The Holy Spirit showed up. Remember the mighty rushing wind and the tongues of fire? Holy Spirit showed up, and the church grew from 120 that day to 3,000, and shortly not after that, 5,000. So it just shows you the power of corporate prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit, and I think that's one thing we need more of, is more of that power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Where two or more are gathered, there I am also, emphasizing again the importance of group prayer. I wanted to talk a little bit about fervent, effectual prayer. Fervent means hot, glowing, passionate. Jeremiah said, "God's word is like a fire in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. I cannot hold it in any longer." And we look at James chapter 5, 16 and 17. It says, Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray to each other that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That's where you get this idea of this fervent prayer. Again, hot, glowing, passionate prayer. And then it goes on to say, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, but Elijah was a man like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, the earth produced its crops. If you remember that story, Jezebel and Ahab were promoting Baal worship. I think it's interesting to note, too, that Baal was the god of the thunder clouds, the storm clouds, and he was also the god of fertility. So Jezebel and Ahab had been promoting Baal worship, and the nation of Israel was turning away from God. And then God sent Elijah to proclaim to Ahab that there would be no rain till he spoke again. And that was 3.5 years later. Elijah had the great victory on Mount Carmel where he destroyed the prophets of Baal. And then he prayed again. And it took him 7 times. And it's kind of interesting how he prayed. I thought this was... He went on top of Mount Carmel, and he bent down with his hands between his, with his head between his legs. And they said it's compared to like a woman having birth. He travailed, he prayed those fervent, effectual prayers, and the heavens gave way and the earth and the rain came. So, and another important thing is to think about that. Now, Elijah was a prophet of God. He was somebody special in that sense, but the word says, Elijah was a man just like us. And I find that interesting, that we have that same power available to us as individuals, as a church, that same power that Elijah had. And Elijah, he was just like us, because after he had this great victory on Mount Carmel, Jezebel said she was going to have him killed within 24 hours. Elijah was afraid. After he had killed like 400 prophets of Baal, he was so afraid that he ran and hid in the desert. I thought that was interesting, that even, you know, he had all this power and he had this great victory. It just shows he is like us. He was a human being just like us. He had his fears and doubts and stuff, even after the Lord had provided so many times in his life. Jesus reminds us along the same line of thinking to ask and seek and knock. If you remember the story of the neighbor who he had a visitor come and he didn't have any bread, so he went to his neighbor's house at midnight and he knocked on the door, and the neighbor said, "Go away, I'm in bed, don't bother me." And the gentleman says, "Well, I need bread, I have company." And it says that he didn't get out of bed to because he was his neighbor, but he got out of his bed because the man wouldn't stop knocking. So Jesus is reminding us to be persistent, to keep asking, seeking, and knocking us till we get the answer. And we're reminded in Hebrews where it says that we should come boldly before the throne of God. So don't hesitate to keep asking and seeking and knocking until you get your answer. Another area of prayer is intercessory prayer, praying on the behalf of others. Like we do here, on Sunday morning here, like we do in the prayer room downstairs whenever there's a need. Intercessory prayer is described as empathy, putting yourself in the shoes of others. For a couple examples, Abraham interceded with God on behalf of Sodom, if you remember that story. He said, as there's 50 righteous men, will you spare the city? And God said he would. And he went down to 40 and 30 and down to 10. And Abram stopped at 10. And God said he would do, he would not destroy Sodom if he found 10 righteous men. But apparently he didn't. So another time, Job interceded for his three friends. If you remember the story of Job, who had given them the faulty advice, and the Lord forgave all them. God often gives people, it's not listed necessarily in the gifts of the Spirit, but God often gives people the gift of intercessory, that compassion for others. I think of Brother Dan. God called Brother Dan as an intercessor. God gives him specific people to pray as needs arise. And Dan has a unique way of doing this. I thought I'd bring him up. Way of keeping track of the people he's praying. He has like 15 plants, and they all have names. I thought that was interesting. So he prays to the plants, he prays for the folks, and that's how he remembers their name. And I believe that Sister May is a cactus. I'm not sure why that is. I don't know. She's a thorn in Dan's side, or but I'm sure it's a good reason. Or the other way around. There you go. So May's a cactus, just so you know. Another thing about prayer is the idea of prayer and fasting. Fasting is the discipline of abstaining from food or making other sacrifices for a period of time. Some examples in the Bible where people fasted was when wisdom was needed, times of distress, the desire for revival, need for healing for yourself or others, and a national crisis. So these are times that people fasted in the Bible, and there's other reasons too. As we know, Jesus fasted for 40 days when he was tempted in the desert. Moses fasted for 40 days. I thought it was interesting that it says he fasted for 40 days and nights and without food or water. I'm not sure about Jesus. And I believe Elijah fasted for 40 days too when he was on the run from Jezebel. If you have a desire to fast and pray, it's probably good to start out at a slower rate, maybe for a day, 24 hours. And if you're going to do 40 days, you probably should get some advice on that one. So, fasting is important. One of the things, you know, I do a lot of praying myself. One of the things I struggle is, why aren't my prayers always answered? Mark 11 says, Mark 11, 34, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it, and it will be yours. And this is one I struggle with. If you listen to the faith teachers often, you know, they'll say, well, it's because you don't have enough faith. You lack the faith to see the answer come. And I don't believe that's necessarily true, but I'm not sure really why our prayers aren't always answered. When you read a verse like that, there's several verses like that. God often doesn't answer our prayers in the way we're expecting. God does answer our prayers in the best way. Sometimes the answers don't come soon enough. Hebrews 11, there's a good example. 11:13, the hall of faith, Hebrews 11. All these people were living by faith when they died. They did not receive the promises, though they only saw them from afar. I think that's a good example that God does answer our prayers in his time and his way. Sometimes we don't see it in our lifetime. I guess the real question isn't why doesn't God answer all our prayers the way we want, but the real question is maybe, do we really trust God? Do we believe that God's answers or no answer and his timing are wiser than our prayers? It's something I struggle with. Maybe we just have to say God is God and his ways are higher than ours. I'm still asking God about this because I do struggle with it, and I need an answer about this. Why our prayers aren't always answered when his word says they are. In closing, I'd like to ask all of us to begin to pray fervently for our church, our pastoral search team, and our new pastor, that God would already be speaking to whoever he's calling here. So I just encourage everybody to put that on your prayer list. It's so important, you know, at this stage of our church. It's a crucial time. So I'm just asking everybody to take the time each day. It just takes 5 minutes and pray for the search team and the new pastor. Whoever he's calling here, that God would speak to them now, ahead of time. And also, I would encourage you to spend that quiet time with God. Just start with 15 minutes a day. You know, I started at 15 minutes a day, and now I try to spend at least an hour a day just waiting on God, just reading my Bible. I go in my closet, as Jesus said, close the door, and I just pray, you know, for God to speak to me. I pray for a word of encouragement for someone. I'm just trying to get to know God. I think it's so important. I mean, you think about it, we're here on this earth for 70, 80 years, 90 years, whatever, and we're going to spend eternity with God. It would be good to know him ahead of time. It'd be good to know God before we get to heaven, to know that, have that intimate relationship. Start with 15 minutes a day or more. Build from there. Submit your prayers and petition with thanksgiving, as Paul says in Philippians. We want to remember to thank God, how important that is. When you go into your prayer room or wherever you pray, a lot of times I would go up to a park up at Bergie Mill, down at the bottom of the hill where the bridge is out, and walk back. There's a big rock back there, and I'd spend an hour back there. And I want to just say I spend an hour praying to God and waiting on him and reading the word, but I also spend a couple hours a day praying for my family, our church, different needs that I know that are pressing right now. So, you know, I'm not boasting or anything, but God has just called me. I pray like 3 hours a day, and that takes time. It takes time out of your day. And I know, I think it was John Wesley or St. Augustine said, I have a super busy day today, so I better spend an extra hour in prayer. And that's kind of contradictory, you know what I mean? If I have a busy day, how do I have time for an extra hour of prayer? But when you start praying, it only makes sense that how important is spend that time. So your day does go well. You know, the Proverbs says, commit your ways to the Lord and you will succeed. And that's something I pray each day too, that I commit my day to him and my day will be successful, and I ask for an opportunity to bless someone that day. So submit your prayers and petitions with thanksgiving. Find that secret place, get alone with God, talk to him, let him talk to you. Focus and listen for that still small voice. That's all I got. So if there's any discussion, we're open to discussion. Any questions? I'll try to answer. But there you go. There you go. Marta was...
Your question about, you know, when we pray, why God doesn't answer, I mean, that's... Those verses just sound so cut and dry, right?
Yeah,
pray,
right.
Answers. But I think that what I always go to John 15 for that one. John 15 says, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is for my Father's glory that you time of prayer, when we come before God, is also a time of God.
Mm-hmm.
It is a really interesting, though,
right.
Especially for young believers, it's hard to, as people who don't have, like, maturity, it's hard to say, like, just praying, that will answer your prayer.
Right.
And it's true, but there's also
right.
layers and layers there.
Yeah, just that thing I had read there that we believe that God's answers are wiser than our prayers. So that kind of summed it up in that sense for me, too. It's an interesting, too. I just saw a little clip on TV about the Hebrides revival. Is that right, Eloise? The islands off the coast of Scotland, or Wales, I guess it is. There was a great revival there in the, I'm going to say, early 1900s. But it started out, was interesting, they said it started out with two elderly retired school teachers praying. And they would pray this every day. It said, for I'll pour out my water on thirsty land and streams on dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and your blessings on your descendants. And it was a great revival there. And I think that's how all the revivals began, if you think about Azusa Street, which was out in California. It started with prayer. I read a book on that one. The Toronto Blessing up in Canada, Brownsville, and other places. Revival begins with prayer. And I know there's a lot of churches in our area that are praying for revival. And I think that should be a part of our prayers, too. Revival for our church, our community, our nation, and throughout the world. Another great outpouring of this Holy Spirit. And, you know, the world's not going to change unless it begins with the hearts of each one. So, Jen? I agree. That's a good way to start prayer, is that praise and thanksgiving. Sing songs to the Lord. Anybody else? Dave, I don't want to put you on the spot, but you want to come up and have us pray for you? Or it's up to you.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Anybody that feels led to come up and pray for Brother Dave, we ask you to come forward. Marta, I got some oil unless you got some. Let you do that. Okay. We got a little anointing oil. The word I had read earlier in James, if any among you sick, call the elders of the church to pray over them. And the prayer offering faith will make the sick person well. So we're going to anoint Dave with prayer.
Yeah,
good. Okay. I'm going to put a little drop of oil on you. All right. We'll pray. Lord, we just pray for our brother today, Lord. We pray for salvation for his soul, Lord, for Sandy. We pray that you would, your angels would surround him, Lord, front and back, top and bottom, right and left. We pray your Holy Spirit would fill him. We pray you give him eyes to see, Lord, that he would know that truth. Someone read today, and the truth would set him free, Lord. We pray for that truth to fill Dave from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord. We pray protection around his physical body, Lord. We pray for protection around his heart. We pray that you would just guide those surgeons, those doctors, those technicians, Lord, all the people that are involved, the nurses, And we just pray you would guide the hands of that doctor, Lord. We pray that he would not have experience a lot of pain, Lord. We pray for a speedy recovery, Lord. We pray, Lord, for a miracle, Lord, that by your stripes he would be healed. You would keep him free from every disease. You would restore him to health, Lord. We pray for a miracle that he doesn't even have to get the surgery, Lord. Lord, we know that you hold him in the palm of your hand, Lord. You know what's best, Lord. So we ask for you to give Dave and Sandy wisdom. We pray for your peace to fill both of them. We pray for peace for Dave's family, his parents, his son, his daughter, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, you continue to work in his life, Lord, in a special way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wasn't too bad, was it?
Holly's here with us today, and she has an announcement for us.
Hi. Was not at all planning to be here this morning. I had a photo shoot down the road, and it ended right at 10, and I thought, oh, I'll stop by Wellspring. So I was planning to write you all a letter, but since I'm here, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for caring for my two little girls every Sunday. I'm hearing about everything you guys do, all that you've set up for them. They get letters from May every week. Now I've seen this story time with Jen twice. That's and just Kaylee watching them downstairs and involving them in music, and it means a lot to me, and it means a lot to them. Hope talks about church all the time. They want to be at church, and my church is in the evening, and it's a little hard for me to get them there. So this is really great, and I really appreciate all the love that you're giving to them, especially after Dad passed and some hard times that our family is going through with me and Jared. So, yeah, just thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
We will be closing our service with a song from the Green Hymnal, page 439, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And Jake, when I think of all the praying that you do, I think of that, and I can't quite come up with the exact wording of it, is when your feet hit the ground in the morning, the devil's like, oh, he's up. And that's, you know what, I really appreciate that you are that person that is praying for us, that are, you know, holding us in prayer, from big things to little things to everything in between. You have definitely blessed many of us in this congregation over and over again, and for that, you know, publicly thank you for that gift you have shared with us so many times and things. So, and let us all, you know, be praying for our families, our church family, and whatever God lays upon our hearts. So please join us as we sing from the Green Hymnal, page 439, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and you're welcome to stand.